Very quickly, please settle down.
Make the circle a bit bigger, please. Make the circle a bit bigger. Dr. Javed is there. Umar, mere paas aao. I would like everybody to say Ameen on Dua of Tarit, please. Abbas, how are you? Why do I like teasing you, Abbas? Rashid, to kai barabar khidmat nahi kar to. Side pocket. Nathi, get the jaldi lao. Ek paper hai, half a piece.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Kama yanbaghi li jalalihi walhamdulillah hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fih mubarakan alayhi. كما يحب ربنا ويرضى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنام وخاتم الرسل والأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين أما بعد All praise be to Allah who has given us Iman and Islam and a lifestyle presented by our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he alayhi salatu wa sallam was not deputed to ourselves to direct us in our practical lives, chances are today whilst we are sat here we wouldn't have even known istinja. and the method of istinja. Just like those who are deprived from his sunnah and from believing in him are deprived of these etiquettes in life, we would have easily remained deprived of this. All praise be to Allah that he, Allah Azza wa Jalla, sent his noble prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to direct us in every sphere of life. Boys, last week we were discussing, we've started now fiqh lessons. Means direct understanding of the Sharia law. The jurisprudence part of Islam is called fiqh. And we've started the fiqh series by starting with istinja. I think this is where taharat and cleanliness starts from. So we've started istinja, and part of istinja last week we have already covered part of the subject. And alhamdulillah, those who were here, they benefited immensely, I'm sure. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the noor of the ahadith, which many ahadith we discussed in the lesson. Today, if we could continue. I can recall that we finished off the lesson whilst we were talking about the etiquettes of istinja and the etiquettes of visiting the toilet. And I had touched on the subject of before entering, it is sunnah to read Bismillah. Before entering, the etiquette is, and it is sunnah, that before we enter into the lavatory, we read Bismillah. And look at the major benefit of reading Bismillah. Without the hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we wouldn't have known. He alayhi salatu wa sallam says, "Ma bayna a'yunil jinn wa awrati bani adam idha dakhala al khala an yaqul bismillah." The barrier and the screen between the eyes of the shayateen and the satr of mankind entering into the lavatory is reading Bismillah. I hope you've understood the hadith. The hadith implies that if anybody was to read Bismillah before entering into the toilet, he has now created a parda between his satr, between his private body, and between the eyes of the shayateen. Now, so the eyes of shayateen become blind now. They cannot see your satr anymore. Why? Just by you've read Bismillah. There's two amazing things here, and I am amazed as well, that if we have no iman in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if we did not, or we have iman, but we don't read this hadith, and we didn't know, then what would have happened? We would have walked into the toilet, allowing the jinnas and the shayateen to see us most clearly and explicitly. But just by reading Bismillah, we have created a parda. At the same time, let us take the opportunity to know the importance of the word of Allah. That how magical the word Bismillah is. Just by reading Bismillah, which takes 1 second literally. It takes 1 second. By reading Bismillah in 1 second, you have created such an invisible parda with an invisible creation. Otherwise, with an invisible creation, how can you create that parda on the screen? Gee, especially you can't see them, and they are such a creation which you find them anywhere, however, whatever. They can penetrate into private rooms and everything. You cannot create a parda from them. But look at the magical power of the word Bismillah, and you have created a parda from them. So they cannot see you. Now the giant Abu Bakr will go inside, but shayateen cannot see him. This is one etiquette before entering into. Although in my days we read this hadith, but again,
You read at that age when you are not reading with that sort of jazba of immediately putting things into practice. It's more academic work. Bang, 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 academic work, pages after pages. And you don't give second thoughts. Now, some years ago when I went through and I read this hadith, alhamdulillah, it's been my practice to read Bismillah before entering into the toilet, along with Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. So it's a very important piece of information. So just within this hadith, there is so many things we learn. Number one, yes, even in the private toilets, the shayateen can see you. That's number one. Number two, shayateen are existent in the toilets. Number three, by reading Bismillah, you have created a screen. So now, knowing this hadith, let's make this a practice. Before entering, Bismillah. And then, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Because we will be sharing, we will be making these notes as well, and we will be having an examination as well at some point based on the facts that I am giving you. It's important that I give you the reference of hadith. So this hadith, that by reading Bismillah you have created a screen between the eyes of the jinns and your satr, this has been narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi in his book called Jame Littirmidhi. You know, there are six authentic books of hadith which are regarded as most authentic, although there are hundreds, but out of those, six are regarded as most authentic because the narrators are all authentic. The writers and the authors of these books have set very high standard of accepting any hadith and recording any hadith. The narrators have to be of a particular standard. The hadith has to, narrators have to be of particular standard of knowledge and everything. This is why these books of hadith are regarded as six most authentic hadith, books of hadith. And one of them is Tirmidhi. Also, the second etiquette is, before entering into the toilet, you read the dua which we have been taught for ever since we were a child. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Again, this hadith has been recorded in Bukhari and Muslim, saying that whenever kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha dakhala al-khala, كان يقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث. Whenever Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered the lavatory, then he would read Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. O Allah, I seek your protection from the male shayateen and from the female shayateen. So this dua that we have been taught for a long time, then it's good to know that this comes from directly from the practice of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's an authentic hadith that has been recorded in Bukhari and in Muslim. All this time, yes, we were just told, you read this, you read this, you read this. But it's nice to know, where is it coming from? Directly from the practice of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How authentic it is, this is the next level. And this is what our study circle is all about. Moving on to the next level. So you say, Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. I also gave you the benefit of reading Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. O Allah, I seek your protection from the female jinns and the male jinns. Why? Because in the toilets, male and female jinns are found, and it's proven from hadith that they want to mess about with you there. They're not sharif people. They are not sharif people, yes, so there's. And they want to mess about with you. Hence, our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, you seek Allah's protection from their evils. So this is the benefit of reading this dua. Jisse ye bhi pata chala ke these duas that have been recommended by our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we have learned for so many years now, they have a purpose. It's not just remembrance of Allah. It's to give you protection and security and safety. Sometimes the reason are hygienic reasons behind something. Sometimes dua, the reason behind it is to give you protection and security. But chances are you will not comprehend and understand, because these things, so many things are invisible. Shayateen are invisible creation. So it's nice to know the benefits also. What are the benefits of reading this dua? So the benefit of reading dua of Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith is to seek security and protection against the evils of shayateen that are found in the toilets, who are no good people. Number three, before entering into the toilet, it is important that any article that you are carrying that has a name of Allah and is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then out of respect for these holy names, you take them off. Where do we find this from, this information? It was the practice of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whenever he entered into khala, into the toilet, then he had a finger ring that he put on in his finger. He used to take it off and then he would enter. From this hadith, from this practice that whenever he visited the toilet, he would take the finger ring off. From this practice, ulamas and muhaddiseen have deduced that this was out of respect for the name of Allah, because on his ring, the name of Allah and Rasul was inscribed on it. It is said, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the name of Allah was on it. The name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inscribed on the ring. Hence he would take it off. And this is the reason muhaddiseen have understood from his practice. So wherever we will see this reason, we will apply it. So if you cannot walk into the toilet with the mobile and you've got the Quran up on. All right. Or something else that you are listening to that has a religious context in it, of the name of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or anything else that you are carrying, or somebody is carrying ta'weez, and that ta'weez has clearly written, which can be visible, which is visible. The writing is visible, then you cannot carry that also whilst you go to the toilet. The hadith in relation to the fingering, most probably you don't have to, because it's closed. The hadith that Prophet ﷺ used to take his finger ring off before entering the toilet has been narrated by Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Tirmidhi both. They testify that kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha dakhala al-khala naza'a khatimahu. Whenever he entered into the toilet, he would take his finger ring off. Abu Dawood an-Nasai. Next etiquette whilst visiting the toilet is you do not expose yourself until you have sat down, more or less sat down. With your satr, even though you may be in your private room, it is always a good practice not to expose yourself unless when it becomes absolutely necessary. And knowing our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was a very shy and a modest person, his practice used to be, which has been recorded in the books of hadith, that whenever he entered into the toilet, kana la yarfa'u thawbahu hatta yadnu min al-ard. He would not lift his robe to relieve himself until he was more or less near enough to hitting the ground. So it's not that you just take your clothes off and you walk, you take your strides in the bathroom and toilet all exposed. No, you might be in your private room, but you don't do that. Hamza kyun hansi aati hai? Is that what you do? So again, out of respect of yourself, out of respect of whoever it may be inside there, ashayatin and so on, so you give them the, you don't give them the opportunity unnecessarily. So as you sit down, then you lift your robes, then only and not before. This is sunnah. Yes. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith says that kana an-nabiyyu idha arada al-hajata lam yarfa' thawbahu hatta yadnu min al-ard, that he would not lift his robe until he was near close to the ground. With ourselves, because in those times they never used to have shalwars, remember, it was more like a full robe that ran from the top to the bottom. So if they went to the toilet, they had to lift it up. Whereas people like ourselves, I think we have to roll the shalwar down, isn't it? But the bottom line is, let's not make things complicated, Tariq, but simple. So it's just simple etiquette that you expose yourself, you leave exposing yourself to the last minute. After which, you know, as much as you delay it as much as possible. This hadith that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would only pull up his clothes not until he was more or less near to the ground. This hadith, I haven't got the reference written here, but yes, it's a hadith and the practice of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A very important discussion to make around using the toilet is facing the Qibla or backing the Qibla. What is the Islamic perspective in relation to backing or facing towards the Qibla whilst you are answering the natural call? Yes, one fatwa is what we've just heard. And let me continue with the second. Yes, there are some authentic ahadith on this subject. Authentic and very clear and explicit ahadith on the subject. Salman radiallahu anhu, Salman Farsi. It's a Persian sahabi called Salman. This is why it's called Salman Farsi. Farsi means Persian. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, he narrates that nahana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an nastaqbil al qiblata wa an la nastadbiraha, that he alayhi salam prohibited us from facing towards the Qibla or backing towards the Qibla whilst we are answering the natural call. So there is clear hadith one. There is another hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which he directly he addresses the ummah. And he directly says to the sahaba, he said, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الْغَائِطِ فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُوا الْقِبْلَةَ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُوهَا. Whenever you enter into the toilet, then you must not face in the direction of the Qibla and you must not even back it. In the light of these two hadith, where we find there is explicit, clear prohibition, Imam Abu Hanifa and others like Allama ibn Taymiyyah, who has his own school of thought, who does not follow one of the four. Ibn Taymiyyah is a very, very big learned scholar. An extremely, very major learned scholar who came much more after the time of the four schools of thought. Allama ibn Taymiyyah and Imam Abu Hanifa also are of the opinion that if whenever you go to the toilet, even though it's a private room, you are not allowed to face the Qibla and you are not allowed to back the Qibla. In other words, you need to have the toilet system set in a way, or you answer the natural call opposite the direction of Qibla and backing the Qibla. In other words, if Qibla is this way here in Masjid Umar here, then you either face this way or you either face this way. So Imam Abu Hanifa, in the light of this hadith or these ahadith, he is of the opinion prohibition under all circumstances. At home, private toilets, wherever, or in the open. Rule is the same. Right? This is one opinion. We also find another opinion, which is the opinion of the rest of the three schools of thought. Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Shafi'i rahimahumullah. They are of the opinion that if you are in a private place at home and you've got the walls around you, or you've got anything else in between you and the Qibla as a barrier, then it doesn't matter if you face the Qibla. And what their evidence is, which is again we find from the hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. And who is Abdullah ibn Umar? He is the son of Umar radiyallahu anhu. His sister, Abdullah ibn Umar's sister, is Hafsa. Who is she? She is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's one of the multiple wives. Okay, so one day whilst our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting at his wife Hafsa radiyallahu anha's house, and Hafsa is the sister of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, Ibn Umar went to visit them both. For a reason, Abdullah ibn Umar, Hafsa's sister, he went to the loft of the house. He climbed to the loft of the house. As he went to the loft of the house, he saw our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answering the natural call. Most probably emptying his bladder, doing pishab. And Abdullah ibn Umar says, as I went upstairs, he alayhi salatu was salam was answering the natural call, backing the direction of Qibla. Backing the direction of Qibla. Because of this practice that Abdullah ibn Umar saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upstairs on the roof of the house, he saw him answering the natural call in the opposite direction of the Qibla, in other words, backing the Qibla. Abdullah ibn Umar is of the opinion that this proves that if you are in private home and you've got barriers, then yes, you are allowed to back the Qibla or face the Qibla. And he says that prohibition that he alayhi salam has mentioned, is the prohibition relates open area where there are no barriers or there is no privacy. This is Abdullah ibn Umar's opinion. Based on this opinion and this incident where Abdullah ibn Umar sees he alayhi salam backing the Qibla, three schools of thought are also of the opinion that in private cubicles, toilets, in at homes and so on, facing the Qibla and backing the Qibla is not a big issue. Although if you can refrain, excellent, but it's not a must. Unlike Imam Abu Hanifa and Allama ibn Taymiyyah. See, from here we understand, you know, when these four schools of thought, when they differ from one another, they have bases, they have grounds, they have evidences, they all have their own evidences. And all evidences, if you look at it from all different perspective and dimensions, they all make sense. Like even if you look at Imam Abu Hanifa's opinion that it doesn't matter whether it's private or whether it's out in the open, his opinion makes a lot of sense as well. Why? Because the prohibition is out of respect for the Qibla. And Qibla is everywhere. Even if you are in a private small little room, still there is Qibla. Don't we read our salat in private room facing towards the Qibla? That is still Qibla. So if we say that the prohibition is only for the open and not in the private, but in the private we find the direction of the Qibla as well. So it has to be respected. And this is why Allama Ibn Taymiyyah's opinion is the same. But on the other hand, we have a very learned Sahabi. And who is that? Abdullah Ibn Umar is a very, very learned Sahabi. When he saw Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and practice of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always means that there is permission. There is permission. Otherwise, if they were strictly prohibited, then he alayhi salam wouldn't have done it himself. Who would be more aware of the direction of the Qibla and the Ahkam than he alayhi salatu was salam? So again, that opinion is also valid there. How can you prohibit it when we saw Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And Allah has sent him as a role model, as a practical role model for everyone. So whatever he does, that's a license for others. This is why Abdullah ibn Umar, one day whilst he was traveling and he wanted to empty his bladder and he wanted to pass water, what he decided to do, he decided to make his animal, the animal that he was riding on, he made the animal sit in front of him and in the direction of Qibla he passed water. So his disciple, his companion, asked him, Ya Abu Abdurrahman, this was his nickname, Abu Abdurrahman. Ya Abu Abdurrahman, have we not been prohibited to face the direction of the Qibla? And you are doing this? So Abdullah ibn Umar says that prohibition is only when you are in the open. If you have something as a screen in between, then there is no prohibition. So this is the difference of opinion. What do we do? Here now, if the toilets are already made at homes that face the direction of the Qibla or back the direction of the Qibla, and you cannot move the whole system because of the sewage system and the rest of it, then of course you just continue the way things are. Abbas, you just continue the way things are. However, in future you bear in mind, whenever that you go for new construction, Maqsood, where you buy a new house and you are planning everything and the whole format of the bathroom and the toilet, then yes, you fix the system, the toilet system, in such a way that neither it faces the direction of Qibla nor does it back the direction of Qibla. But there is no doubt that even though there is a difference of opinion about whether it's necessary or not necessary to avoid this, but still all ulamas are of the opinion that it's better to avoid even in the private house. So yes, you will be growing up. A time will come, inshallah, you'll buy your own house. A time will come when there will be an opportunity to change the whole system here and there. So whenever you are changing the system, bear in mind. Bear in mind. And with Hanafi fiqh, this is much more stricter. There is a difference between, because the salat was running at the time. The salat was running at the time. So whilst during running of the salat, not only towards the Qibla you shouldn't spit, but you should also not spit on the right side. So he alayhi salam said, if you have to, and there is as long as there is nobody on the left side. So either you spit on the left side, or you collect your spit and your saliva in your garment. जी, तो वो नमाज की वजह से है वहाँ। चलो लेट्स मूव ऑन। नेक्स्ट इम्पोर्टेंट डिबेटेबल इशू, सो द खुलासा ऑफ फेसिंग द डायरेक्शन ऑफ किबला ओ बाकिंग इज येस विद इमाम अबू हनीफा इट इज प्रोहिबिटेड, विद अदर स्कूल्स ऑफ थॉट इट्स नॉट प्रोहिबिटेड बट इट्स बेटर इफ यू अवॉइड। दिस इज इन प्राइवेट टॉयलेट्स वेयर देयर इज अ स्क्रीन बिटवीन यू एंड द किबला, and whereas in the open it's prohibited and all are unanimous about in the open. Next, the subject is about passing water whilst, how important is it to sit and pass water, and how prohibited is it to stand and pass water. Aisha radiyallahu anha narrates, she said to the people that if anybody tells you that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to urinate standing, then do not believe him. He said, whoever relates to you that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to urinate standing, then do not believe him. He alayhi salatu wasalam would never urinate standing. This is hadith. This has been narrated by Imam Tirmidhi and Nasai rahimahumallah. What do we understand from this hadith? He alayhi salatu wasalam would urinate and pass water whilst sitting and not standing. One day, and let me before, why this issue? To us, this issue is like, why should this issue even be touched? Like, who can think and imagine Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urinating while standing? I would like you to know that in the Arab Muashara, this was very common. This was very common. Urinating while standing was a common practice running from before Islam. Running before Islam. This is why when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when kuffar and mushrik, they one day they saw him that he sat in that corner and passing water, they started laughing at him and they said, look at that guy, he is urinating like a woman, because women they sit, they cannot stand. So he alayhi salatu wasalam was mocked at because he would do that sitting. So yes, we understand that his practice was to sit and urinate, even though it contradicted the normal habit of the people around. This is why one day Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you laugh maybe at this, right? But as I said, this was the normal practice. One day our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Umar radiallahu anhu standing and standing. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Umar, la tabul qa'ima, don't urinate while standing. Khade hokar peshab na karo, Umar. It's hard to believe Umar radiallahu anhu doing this, but it was a common practice. Now they were all learning. It's a learning process, isn't it? It's not they just became sahaba and everything was perfect overnight. The ahkam kept on changing, unki tarbiyat hoti rahi, and so on. So yes, there was occasion when Umar radiallahu anhu was passing water while standing. He alayhi salam saw him and he prohibited him. Umar radiallahu anhu narrates this story himself in the books of hadith. It has been narrated that after that, ma bultu qa'ima ba'du. I never after that, I ever passed water whilst standing. However, if there are circumstances that will not allow you to sit, either your own physical circumstances, because of health reasons, you cannot sit down and whatever it may be, or because of the circumstance, the environmental circumstances, you cannot urinate sitting, then yes, it is allowed to stand and urinate. Or if you think that if I will sit and urinate, my clothes and body will become more polluted compared to standing and urinating, then it would be better to urinate standing. And where do we find this dalil and this evidence that under certain circumstances when sitting is not applicable and possible, then you are allowed to stand and urinate? Yes, one day our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was walking with the Sahabi, whilst they were walking and he alayhi salatu wa sallam was now desperate to pass water. And he ended up in a place where it was a place of garbage. It was a place of garbage where everybody threw the litter and everything. So he alayhi salatu wa sallam, he went to that corner and he passed water standing. He passed water standing. So whilst he was, the Sahabi even said that whilst he alayhi salatu wa sallam wanted to pass water, I took my steps away from there. So he alayhi salatu wa sallam called me to come nearer so I could cover him so he could not be seen. So he is a like first hand eyewitness that he alayhi salatu wa sallam passed water whilst he was standing. But again, either this was because of a physical reason or whether because of the environmental reason around him that it wasn't a suit, there wasn't no suitable place to pass water. So we gather from this as well that if there are certain circumstances, then it doesn't mean that you don't pass water and you lock it up. Anji, it's a natural phenomenon and you have to pass water. Anji. So if sitting position is not applicable and not possible, then at least standing position. Clear? So yes, the normal practice of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to pass water whilst sitting. Yes, the culture of the time and the order of the time was passing water, right, standing. But alhamdulillah, with the tarbiyat and ta'aleem of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, things changed. Especially when he alayhi salam mentioning that the torments of the grave, majority of the times the torments of the grave, they take place because of not avoiding pishab. This is why this was taken more serious. And it goes without saying that by standing, there are more chances of your clothes, your garments and your body becoming polluted and contaminated compared to sitting position most of the times. Nahi, dono sunnat nahi hai. We will not say that to stand and urinate is also sunnat and to sit down and urinate is not, it's also sunnat. A very important issue the tariqah has raised. Why? Because the one time when he urinated standing, that was only circumstantial because of a need. Sunnat is something which is the normal practice. Do you understand? It doesn't mean if something Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has only very rarely done because of a desperate situation, that doesn't become sunnah and a regular practice and regarded as this is sunnah. No. The sunnah is something which he most of the time under normal circumstances is he practiced, that will be regarded as sunnah. Hence here, the sunnah is to sit down and to pass water. Because this was his normal practice. We don't look at the abnormal circumstances. You see, when you look at this Sharia and as you study the Sharia, it's so logical, isn't it? Jee? Our deen is based on so much realities, facts, and it's so logical.
Can I just say one thing? Whilst traveling, I've observed, especially on the airports, why is it that Muslims' toilets are the worst?
Bilkul sahi baat kahi aapne.
Travel
True, it's a practical scenario that in most of the time in Muslim countries, Muslim toilets are quite, maybe filthy is not the right word, but messy. The biggest reason behind this is with the others, it's all dry. Tissue paper, you just make dry istinja, in other words, you just wipe off the najasat, so there is no usage of water. Because there is no usage of water, the toilet is clean, but you are dirty inside. Okay? In your trousers, you are dirty. But inside the toilet is clean. When you go to the Muslim toilets, because there is a lot of emphasis on the usage of water, right? And water is something that is very difficult to keep it restricted. This is why you'll find the mess. So here the toilets are messy, but the person is clean. But yes, I wish if we had better etiquettes, no doubt. It is a problem everywhere. Masjids, madrasas, our schools, our airports, everywhere. It's a common thing. You'll find our place is much more messier. Yes. So I wish we could do better. But the main reason behind this is because we use water. This is why things go messy. I've also seen, right, because the Asian countries, they are not used to the English system, the toilet system. So they don't know how to use it. So do you know what they do? They don't sit on it, they squat on it. So I've been, because I move around in countries, so they have to really, in some countries, especially the African countries, they have to write in their language that please do not squat on them or don't stand on them. It means that some also they stand on them as well. But no doubt, the English system is the most comfortable one. It's the most comfortable. And it's also neat and tidy. With the squatting system, what it is, there are more chances of your legs and feet becoming contaminated under certain circumstances. If you have diarrhea and so on, then chances are that your clothes and your feet can become more contaminated with the squatting system. Whereas with the English system, right, you become much more secure from all this. And it's much more comfortable. It doesn't mean you sit there all day, but yes, it's much more comfortable compared to. And again, I don't want anybody to feel that the Asian system, squatting system is Islamic system and this English system is non-Islamic. Right? That is also acceptable. What will be Islamic? Whichever system provides best hygiene and comfort. That will be regarded as Islamic, because this is what Islam promotes. Best hygiene and convenience and comfort. So if the English system provides a provision that gives better hygiene and comfort as well, then yes, that is good. It's Islamic. There's no reason unnecessarily, just because it's been invented in the West and used in the West, we have to just declare it un-Islamic. Chalo, let's not go too deep into that, right? Okay.
The Asian toilet, you enjoy jahan se baithte hain, and especially when you want to do number one. If you want guaranteed splashback, use that.
Which one?
Asian
system. Yeah, true. Definitely. I hate them too. If I'm given the full total choice, for example, for masjids, madrasas, and I would only go for English system. Abbas, which one do you prefer? Jay? For an Englishman? Jay?
Yeah. सारे पाकिस्तानी टॉयलेट हो तो बस बंदा इज्जत से जो है मतलब फारिग हो जाता है. ठीक है, इंग्लिश सिस्टम जो है ना सर, वो सारा ड्राई और टिश्यू पेपर मस्ट.
हम क्या बात कर रहे
हैं, इफ यू हैव टिश्यू पेपर यू कैन ड्राई इट ऑफ एंड देन यू कैन सिट. इफ इट्स ऑल वेट यू कांट पॉसिबली यूज दैट इंग्लिश टॉयलेट.
Right, okay. Let me explain to you, please hear. Important question Maksud has raised. Anji, if you have the English system where the seat is wet, where the seat is wet because somebody has used it, not necessarily for najasat, it's wet because of the najasat, but it's wet because of the water he has used. Okay? So when you go, it's enough for you to wipe it dry. Once it's dry, then even if it was najasat, but because it's dry, your body has not become affected. Hence, you haven't taken any najasat. Your body has not absorbed any najasat because it was dry. So it's perfect for you to sit on it as long as the seat is dry. If the seat was wet and it was wet because of najasat, then yes, your body will become napak. So yes, the first thing with the English toilets, what you have to do is you have to make sure that the seat is dry. That's important, yes. The other thing with the English system as well is when you flush, then there are splashes of the water that will also will go out onto the seat as well. Yeah. So this is why it's important that you wipe it really dry. And this splashes from the system inside, it's all najasat, it's all napak, it's napak water. So the seat has to be dry. This is the only thing we have to do with the English system. You have to make sure the seat is dry. After that, there is no more issues. After that, make yourself comfortable. Next. Important issue, please. It's important that we take this lesson serious. It's very, what you call, we talk about sensitive issues here. And it's not very easy for the speaker to discuss, believe me. It's not very easy for the speaker to discuss this sensitive subject. The use of the words are very important, you know. So it is, we are talking about a very sensitive issue and we have to be all very sensible about this. We have to be very sensible. And you know, we should really appreciate that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wallahi, he did not leave any stone unturned. Whether it was a sensitive issue, which normally one person will not discuss in front of another. This is why when he came to etiquettes of the toilet, do you know what he said earlier? He said, I am to you like a father. Not always he's mentioned this, that to you I am like a father. But when he came about the etiquettes of the toilet and istinja, the hadith says that he first said, Ana walidukum. Alright, I am like your father. I will teach you the etiquettes. One of the etiquettes, once we are inside, that we have been prohibited from handling the private organs with the right hand. Why we get this prohibition that you are not allowed to handle and touch the private part with the right hand? Because Salman radiallahu anhu reports, same Salman who recorded some other etiquettes. After that, he has also mentioned that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that nahana Rasulullah an nastanjiya bil yamin, that he alaihi salam prohibited us from making istinja with the right hand. No, let me start from here. Abu Qatada is a Sahabi. He says, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he said, إِذَا شَرِبَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَا فَلَا يَتَنَفَّسُ فِي الْإِنَا. Whenever somebody is drinking water, he should not breathe inside the container. inside the glass. It's unhygienic. Ji? Chemically, biologically, you are contaminating the water. You are passing on the bacteria for no reason. So he, alayhi salam, said, whenever one of you is drinking water, فَلَا يَتَنَفَّسُ فِي الْإِنَى, he should not breathe into the water. The hadith continues. وَإِذَا أَتَى الْخَلَى فَلَا يَمَسُّ ذَكَرَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ, and whenever one of you goes to the toilet, he should not handle his private part with his right hand. وَلَا يَتَمَسَّحُ بِيَمِينِهِ, and he must not even wipe off his private parts or clean his private parts with the right hand. All three things have been mentioned about the etiquettes of water and two etiquettes in relation to the lavatory. About the lavatory, he said, you're not allowed to touch with the right hand. And number two, you are not allowed to make istinja with the right hand. Yes, this is a clear evidence of the sort of hygiene that Islam promotes. Who cares once you are out? Who will find out once you are inside the private toilet whether you have touched the private parts or you have done istinja with the right and the left? But it's a respect for others outside in your daily life that you are going to make salam to somebody. You are going to share things with the right hand with somebody. You are going to eat with the right hand. So for that, even in the private life, you have to be serious with yourself and serious with others and sincere and honest with others that you have only handled the dirt with the left and not with the right. Aisha radiallahu anha says that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, كانت يد رسول الله اليمنى لطهوره وطعامه. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's right hand would be exclusively kept for his food and for pure activities. For pure activities and for his food, for eating and drinking. And the hadith says that وَكَانَتْ يَدُهُ أَلْيُسْرَى لِخَلَائِهِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنْ أَذَى, and his left hand would be exclusively used for dirt and filth and for the lavatory. Shared responsibilities between the two hands. Respect for your own self and respect for others. So yes, this is another etiquette that once we go into the toilet, the private part is not handled with the right hand. Understood, Zawqari? And neither should istinja be made with the right hand. Maybe you might think, how is it possible that you don't use the right hand for both things? Then yes, you have to find a way. These are the rules, this is a principle. Now it's up to you how you find the way. But you do with the istinja in such a way that right hand is neither used for handling or touching or no for istinja. And this is clearly mentioned in the hadith. Now which Sharia, Christianity, Judaism or Hinduism, Sikhism will go as far as telling, right, that what hand you use for istinja and what you don't do and what you do? Look in what detail our Sharia goes. Next, it is sunnah that whenever we cleanse ourselves, we at least use any material that is being used to wipe off the najasat, we use three separate times. So in the time of the Sahaba, they were asked to cleanse themselves because they used to use clay, mold of clay. So they were asked to use three molds of clay. One and you chuck it away. Second one, you wipe the najasat off and you chuck it away, rather than using the same one. जी, और यू ओनली यूज वन, मे बी दैट इज नॉट इनफ, यू हैव नॉट क्लेंस्ड योरसेल्फ प्रॉपरली. So whatever item and material you use to wipe off the najasat initially before washing with water, you use 3 times, this is recommended. Although even one can be acceptable as long as the najasat has been removed, however, 3 has been recommended. And there are clear-cut authentic hadith on this subject. Same. Salman radiyallahu anhu says, Nahana an nastanjiya bi aqalla min thalathati ahjar. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us from using less than 3 mold of clay whilst in istinja. So in our days, when we don't use mold of clay and its substitute and perfect substitute is tissue paper, you know, anything which is absorbent and can remove the najasat. Okay, so tissue paper is a good substitute. So if we use tissues, then we have to use 3 times. In other words, you wipe off the najasat with some pieces of tissue paper, and then the second time, and then the third time. This will ensure that your contact with the hand and the water is minimal with the najasat, because you have wiped off the najasat 3 times separately. That's the whole logic behind it, and the whole reason and the purpose. One or two last subjects. Hai waqt abhi? In the time of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, remember, he was a prophet not just for mankind, he was also a prophet for the jinn kind. For the jinn kind. So not always and not all the time, but there have been occasions where he alayhi salatu wa sallam was invited for a conference with them. There have been occasions where he was invited, he went to them, he gave them bayan, and he returned. Before he went, he said to the Sahabi, I'm going to the jinns. There have been occasions where their delegation representing the jinn ummah have come to him for discussion. There have been those occasions as well. On one occasion, a jinn delegation came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining about the difficulty of lives, economical difficulty of lives. In other words, we are not finding enough food. We are not finding enough food. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them dua. And he said, you may go, whichever halal bone that you will pick up. Whichever halal bone that the name of Allah has been mentioned when it was slaughtered, whenever it was slaughtered. Halal bone, whenever you'll pick it up, Allah will put the meat on it just as good as it was when it had meat on it for you. Understood? Whenever you'll pick up a bone, just a bone without the meat, but once you'll get your hands on it and it's a halal bone, then Allah will put the meat for you from today. And he said, whatever dung that you see around, the animal waste, whatever dung and manure and animal waste you see around, if you will pick it up, then Allah will turn you, will make it fit for your animals to eat. For your animals. They were very happy. So now whichever bone they would pick up from wherever out in the open, they would find it full of meat. Whenever they came across dung, they would pick it up. They could use it as a food for the animals. But what used to happen during those days, remember, shortage of water, when Sahaba went out for istinja, whatever, remember, there were no systematic tissues and everything. lifestyles were very plain and simple and difficult. So whatever they came across at the time, they would use it to wipe off the najasat. If they came across bone, they would pick it up, use the bone to wipe off the najasat and throw it away. If they came across dry dung, now dry dung, it would turn like clay. It would turn like clay. All right. So they would even use that to wipe off the najasat, whatever they found. So now the jinns came complaining to our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was the complaint? The complaint is many times when we pick up bones, they are already contaminated with filth. Whenever we collect this manure as food for our animals, then we find it they are contaminated with najasat. So please, can you ask your ummah not to make istinja with bones or not to make istinja with manure? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the sahaba and he said that do not make isla tastanju bil rawthi wala bil idami wala bil humama. Don't make istinja with bones, don't make istinja with dung, and don't make istinja with coals. فَإِنَّهَا زَادُ إِخْوَانُكُمُ الْجِنِّ. Because Allah has made these items a provision of their sustenance, directly or indirectly. So Sahaba were prohibited from making istinja with bones. They were prohibited from making istinja with dry dung, with coal, because these items were used as their food provisions. Not directly food provision, manure for the Allah would make them food for the animals. This is also one subject that we find this was the practice of the Sahaba at the beginning, and then it stopped, and the reason for stopping as well were the jinns. Chances are that in the olden days, it doesn't apply these days, but chances are in the olden days when people used to travel, whenever they saw some holes here and there in the ground, then they would fancy those holes to pass water into. Because yes, there was minimal splashes and everything. It went directly inside, so you never had to worry about it. And yes, the travelers would prefer to urinate in those holes. Again, the jinns, they complained to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these are holes that we live in inside. These are our passages and corridors that we go through. So please tell your sahaba not to urinate in the holes. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the alan that do not urinate into the holes, because fa innaha masakinukum masakinul jinn, because they are dwellings of your brothers, the jinn brothers. Understood, Akib? Final etiquette when you leave. It's a hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whenever he left, there is one hadith that says, Kana yaqulu ghufranak. That whenever he came out of the toilet, he would say, ghufranak, oh Allah, I beg your pardon. For whatever shortcomings inside. Maybe we could not purify ourselves enough. There is another more hadith in detail. That when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out, he would read Ghufranak alhamdulillahilladhi adhaba annil adha wa afani. All praise be to Allah who has taken this discomfort away from me and granted me relief. These are some of the etiquettes that we find directly from hadith, the Nurani hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And surely when we read this hadith and this instruction, he was much more than a father. Would your father Abu Bakr discuss all this with you? Abu Bakr, don't do this when you go to the toilet, and do this when you go to the toilet. Ji?
Absolutely not.
Not just Abu Bakr, anybody, all of us. Let me speak about my father. And let me also speak about me and Rashid. Ji? I hope he's doing the right things though. Ikram? Yes, exactly. So this is the whole point of class. On one-to-one, sometimes you cannot share these messages directly. And yes, sometimes you feel uncomfortable. But in a group and something like this, fine. Ikhatta, ikhatta ho jaye baat.
Most responsible fathers do, you know, ask their children.
Exactly. I wish if his son was here, then we would have asked him. Any quick questions on the subject only before we end the class? Because Akib cannot wait to return home. Akib cannot wait to return home. So any quick questions, please?
Quick question. The left hand is prohibited because of, you know, your washing and all that. Did the right hand say, khana khana, ye wo, this and that? But then, तस्बीह जो है वो दोनों हाथों पे गिनी जाती है
अंडरस्टैंड दैट द राइट हैंड एंड द लेफ्ट हैंड राइट हैंड फॉर द गुड थिंग्स एंड लेफ्ट हैंड फॉर द डर्ट राइट वेयर एज तस्बीह यू कैन काउंट ऑन बोथ यस इट्स ट्रू दैट तस्बीह कैन बी काउंटेड ऑन बोथ बिकॉज रीडिंग तस्बीह यू देयर इज नो कॉन्टामिनेशन डू यू अंडरस्टैंड देयर इज नो कॉन्टैक्ट. The reason of prohibition is because you don't want to, for example, you eating right with the left and you're doing istinja with the left. Or you're doing istinja with the right and you're eating with the right. So that is physical contact. This is physical contact, physical food, physical najasat, physical eating. Do you understand? Isliye prohibition hai. Or whereas tasbih is not physical, you're only counting. It's not that you're coming in touch with yourself or with another person.
And I think there's one more reason, if I can add to that, is jab istinja karte hain, najasat is more likely to get into your nails, and sometimes people don't
clean. But that is with the right hand as well. That's not the reason. Because, yes, right hand mein nails nahi hai. Left hand mein nails nahi hai. So that's the reason already explained. That reason has already been explained. About, can you eat with that same right hand as well? Ji, Abu Bakr, you have istinja problems?
No, left hand can't eat with, but what about, for example, everyone in this room, roti, you still holding your left hand.
Oh, yeah.
Or like, youngsters, we eat burgers and stuff now, it's 200 things.
There is no harm in holding and so on, there is no harm. Because we've only got maximum two hands. You understand? So yes, to a certain level there will be certain contacts with the left as well, but at least the main eating, right, the right hand should be used, because you're only doing as far as it's possible. Even under special circumstances, you've got a broken right hand, Jay, so of course you are allowed to eat with the left and drink with the left. It's not that the left is now totally napak or anything. Come on, you've washed it. Ji? Acha. The other thing is, before I end, there is one more thing that I should have mentioned. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after wiping off the najasat with molds of clay, there was one thing which is so scientific as well. He would wet his hands first and then he would do istinja with water. That's what the hadith also says. You know why he would wet his hands? Because if dry hand came into contact with najasat, then chances are the hands will absorb more. Ji? But if you have got water as a lubricant, as a layer, ji? So there is a less contact. So here is salam before using the after using the moles of clay, he would wet the hands and then do istinja with water. And after that, once istinja was over, the hadith also say that with mitti, with mud and soil, he would also make use of the soil to further cleanse his hand. Remember, during those days, directly soap were not found. So the best measure of cleansing, right, thoroughly, would be the sand and the soil. And he would use that as well. And of course, there is no limit of taking as much better measures of hygiene and cleanliness. For example, you use water, soap solution in the toilets, even better. Phir chahe jo marzi aap use karo, after shave use karo, jo karo. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashahadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Kya hai?